My name is James Greisaber, and you're listening to Type Radio. Now we're talking.
Type Radio FM.
Now we're talking.
Does money make the world go round?
Yeah, I think it does.
Are you competitive?
Somewhat, yeah.
Can you sing?
I don't know if I can sing. I like to sing.
You sing a lot?
Well, not when people are around.
Does your wife know that you can sing?
She's probably heard me sing, yeah. Probably of all the people, she's probably heard me sing.
Would you like to sing for us?
No. I only sing when other songs are playing.
Do you collect?
Yes.
What do you collect?
Music. And obviously, books about typography, lots of them. Kind of have my own library.
You have a lot of books on
typography? Yeah. And other aspects of lettering and alphabets and lettering history and things like that.
I like antique books too?
Or? Yeah. Mostly, yeah.
Mostly, okay. So you really go out hunting to markets and stuff? And,
yeah.
Antique fairs and stuff? Okay.
Yeah, I like to find, especially when coming to these other countries, I like to try to find typographic books from specific countries I've gone to, and kind of my kind of ultimate souvenir would be.
Mm. So how many books do you have?
I don't know.
Give or take?
I started keeping a database just so I could keep track in case I, for some reason, would lose them. Give or take. Well, I think I have about 1, 2, 3 bookshelves full. Maybe more than a few hundred books.
Okay.
But I guess a lot of it's magazines and type specimen books. And things like that, too. Old ones and new ones. Mm. I know I have 2 whole shelves of, new type specimens from current foundries and recent foundries and things.
Is it as extensive as the collection of Tobias?
I've never seen his collection, but I don't think it is. I'm sure it's not, actually.
Okay. Do you ever go for the same book online, for example?
Yeah, I often wonder, if you see something on maybe eBay,
yeah,
it's a typography book, and other people are bidding. I'm like, I wonder if I know that person, you know?
You just call them, please let me have it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to bid against, my friends, too. If they really want the book, I don't want to bid it up for them. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of resources online, though. You can get a lot of antiquary books fairly cheaply. If all you're interested in is the book and not the quality of the book, if it's a first edition or if it's in good shape. If you're just looking for the information, you can get some beat up books that are old for cheap. There's a lot of good resources online to find that.
You don't think that eBay sort of there are people that take advantage of that also because they know that you are really interested in something. It's quite a specialist subject and people try and make the most money out of
it. Well, that's the difference. Yeah, on eBay you're bidding for it, so it could go way up in price.
Yeah.
Whereas through some of the different antiquary booksellers online, you can find the cheapest price because it searches all of the bookstores that are online and shows you, from most expensive to cheapest in the same book. So,
would you part with your own books? Would you sell them?
That's an interesting question. Because I've thought about that. If I had to move or if I had to move a long distance, would I want to take them all with me? I'd probably have to narrow it down to the ones I really like or need because I use a lot of them as resource as well. So I wouldn't want to part with them, I think. But if I had to, I could. They're more of a resource for me. It's kind of like my my own personal library of research. Anytime I need to look up something, I have it on hand, and sometimes things just aren't online that you need to look at.
So they're not sort of, it's because you want the book as opposed to, you know, that you just have it and you never touch it. And then
there's very few books I have that are, I like to, when I see some of these books that are expensive and things, I think, well, is this a book that's going to be valuable to me as a resource, or is it just something that's nice to have?
Yeah.
And I usually will not buy the nice to haves because they don't have this, they don't have a value beyond that. You know what I mean? So I have a lot of stuff that is kind of like, you know, part of my research and stuff, something to have on hand that I can reference. I find those more valuable, even if they're cheaper, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you, would you have references to then to the Cezanne font in your
collection? Actually don't have, no, I don't have that. Most of those books I got either from the library or from P22, where I used to work, also has an extensive library, and they have lots of art books and type books. So they had a lot of Cezanne reference.
Do you vote?
Yes.
And, okay. Have you lived up to your parents' expectations?
I'm not sure I have yet. Although I think it's one of those things, it's like you don't know how to explain what you do to your parents. They just don't understand it. But I think they're starting to get it, and I think they're impressed by what I do. But I don't know if I've lived up to their expectations entirely. They seem to be proud of me.
If you were a font, which font would you be?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that for a second.
We can come back to it later.
Yeah.
Give you some time.
I'm thinking. Yeah, give me some time on that.
Okay. Okay.
Which font would you have liked to have designed?
I don't know. Actually, at this moment, I'm forgetting the name of the font that I love. It's one that Christian Schwartz designed that's used for Headline. I'm embarrassed that I forgot the name of it.
It's not Bao, is it?
Mm-hmm.
That recent one that he did?
No. I'm sorry.
I'm lost too. Maybe it's a little too early. Is there something you really hate about type design?
In the whole process, because I kind of do the whole process because I'm an independent guy, I really dislike testing. I really like designing, but I really hate the beta testing, the generating the files and making sure it works on all platforms and all applications. That's just tedious for me because I'm not really interested in whether it works, I guess. I mean, it would be nice if you could just generate it and it would work fine, but it's a little more complicated than that. You have to make sure it works on all the applications and all the platforms, and that's tedious to me. You have to make up a whole process and make sure you don't miss anything. And there's always just one application it won't work right, and you got to go figure out. You got to backtrack and figure out why.
Can't you have like somebody else do it for you?
Well, I guess I'm not at that stage yet.
Okay.
But eventually, I hope.
And how come you decided to become independent?
Well, it's kind of decided for me, I think. I was working at P22 at the time, and the economy in the United States was not going so well a few years ago, so they laid off their two staff designers. There was me and another person. All we did was type design and some graphic design for their promotional materials, and they had to cut back, so they had to get rid of us. And at the time, I was thinking, well, what do I want to do? I came from the world of graphic design and advertising design, and I didn't want to go back. I wanted to continue on this path, so I decided, well, I just I'll make up an internet site. I'll start publishing some of my own fonts and see if I can do freelance work for people and kind of build from there.
Do you work with them now?
Yes, I still work with P22. I'm still independent, but I still do different projects for them. Recently, I did the Cezanne Pro, the expansion of the Cezanne font.
I want to take it back a little bit, if you don't mind. What sparked your interest in typography?
What sparked my interest in typography? A long time ago when I was a kid, my grandparents were cleaning out their attic, and I found this Speedball lettering book that was my uncle's. I think it was from like 1931. It's really old. And I was in, I don't know why, but I guess a book full of alphabets made me think at this young age that, you know, letters aren't always the same. They can be very different. And the way they looked like intrigued me. So I actually taught myself different calligraphy and the Speedball. It's called Old English, which looks like black letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught myself Old English script and things like that. And I think it started there. I mean, that was more lettering before typography.
Mm-hmm.
Actual typography I was introduced to in college when I started my graphic design curriculum. And I realized, like, when I started taking the typography class, that graphic design is really about typography, really, almost exclusively. Hardly ever do you do graphic design that doesn't involve type in some way. So,
but in between, like, the Speedball lettering book you found in college, it was gone out of your life, or it always, like, was there?
No, it was always kind of there. But I think I didn't understand what typography was specifically until college, and then I realized what it was.
Okay.
But that's why you went to art school, because of the book.
Yeah, I went to school for graphic design.
Yeah.
And I realized in graphic design that I was intrigued with typography the most. And I was interested in type design in college, too, but it was something that I thought I would never be able to do. But then certain people like Emma Gray at the time, you know, the Macintosh computer came out and Emma Gray was doing their own thing. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I can do it myself. They did it themselves. So.
But you took on the Mac, the computer stuff immediately?
Yeah. As soon as I had enough money out of college, I bought myself a computer and Fontographer. It's my first piece of software as Fontographer. And it was real buggy at the time too. It was really hard to use, but it was probably several years after that before I actually did typography as a job, you know, for P22.
Mm.
It was always an interest. It was just a thing I thought would never be a career for me.
How they approach you at P22? How they find you?
Interestingly enough, at a conference, actually. I think it was at 8 Type I in Boston. I met Richard Kegler, who's one of the founders of P22. And he realized I only lived an hour away from where he lived, and he was thinking, I need a staff designer. We actually carpooled. he likes to call it the longest interview that I didn't know I was having, because we drove together from Buffalo to Boston for the conference, and he was, you know, asking me all kinds of questions. I didn't realize he was interviewing me for a job position at his company.
Well, actually, we would like to tell you that.
Yeah. On the way home, he's like, yeah, we might need somebody like you. And I'm like, oh, really?
Typeradio.org, broadcasting from Helsinki, A-Type-I 2005.